Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Lamed Gimel. Today's shir is sponsored by Moshe Han in honor of his son's bris, Tinok ben Moshe ben Yamin. Mazel tov, yishbi zochet to be machniso. Briso shal Avram Avinu bezmano, legado the Torah, lechobo lemaisim tovim. And we thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis and Beis. We were discussing the machlokas between the Tanakama and Abba Shaul. We're discussing if a non-Kohen eats truma, how much do you have to eat in order to be chayiv to pay keren v'chomesh? So the Tanakama said you have to eat a kazayis. Abba Shaul says no, it's not about how much you eat; it's about the value of what you eat. That if you ate a shavapruta, so he said yesterday that Rav Papa thought to say that Abba Shaul didn't mean that it's all dependent on whether you eat a pruta or not. Abba Shaul really meant that in order to be chayiv keren v'chomesh, you need both. You need to eat a kazayis and the Shavapruta. And then the Gemara we closed with said, yeah, even though Rav Papa originally said that, we were able to disprove that from a Braisa, that Abba Shaul was singularly focused on a Pruta. He wasn't worried about Kazayas at all. And furthermore, even Rav Papa himself changed his mind. Rav Papa himself went back on what he had originally said. So the context of Rav Papa changing his mind is a Braisa that we're about to quote in a follow-up conversation on that Braisa. But this Braisa compares the Chiyuv Kares with the Chiyuv of Misa Bidei Shamayim, two separate levels of Onesh, and there are going to be three ways to deal with that comparison that's going to be tangentially brought up in our Gemara. So let's see the Braisa inside right now. Va'af Rav Papa Hadarbe, Rav Papa also changed his mind about 10 lines before the end of the page or so. Ditanya, we have a Braisa, V'chata Bishkaga, the Braisa talking about someone who violates Me'ila, who gets Hana'a from Hegdish. Pasuk says V'chata Bishkaga, so we darshan Prat Lemezit, from the fact that it says Bishkaga, you bring a carb. But if you do mi'ila b'shogeg, we see that if you do mi'ila b'mezid, if you get, it's not mi'ila, if you get hanah from hagdish b'mezid, that's not going to be chayiv a karban. Ramchalva asked the kasha that in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, it says by the vidui of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, chatasi, avisi, pashati. So what's the difference between all of these terminologies? Chatasi, avisi, pashati. So the Gemara says chatasi is referring to the shkagos. That's what the word chet means. It means a chet b'shogeg, not b'mezid. So he asks, why does the pasuk have to say v'chata bishkaga prat lemezid? We already know that chet by definition means bishogig. So he says that very much there are certain words in the Hebrew language that sometimes have a more narrow definition and sometimes have a broader definition. For instance, the word behema. Let's say behema could mean all animal life, or it could mean behema as opposed to a chaya, or behema as opposed to an oaf. So there are certain words in Hebrew that can mean multiple. So chet is one of those words. Chet can mean all sins when used in the context of just saying someone does chet, or that they're. But when you're identifying specific types of chet, chatasi, avisi, pashati, well then it has a more narrow definition as well. So anyway, so v'chata b'shkaga prat l'mezid, that someone who violates mi'ila b'mezid, who gets hanah from Hegdish b'mezid, does not bring a karban, v'aladinu, umashar mitzvot shechayiv ben kareis poter ben es ha'mezid, if when it comes to other mitzvos that you're chayiv kareis for, you're not going to have to bring a karban when you do b'mezid, meaning when it comes to isuri kareis, normally you do isuri kareis b'shogeg, you're chayiv to bring carbon, but you do isuri kares b'mezid, you're not chayiv to bring carbon. Mi'ila she'in ba kares ein odin shapater es amezid. So says the Braisa, mi'ila where there's no chiyuv kares, it's only a chiyuv of misa bidei shemayim, so for sure you're not going to have to bring a carbon when you do it b'mezid, because misa bidei shemayim is lower level than kares. So if something that's a chiyuv kares, you're not going to have to bring a carbon for, something that's misa bidei shemayim, which is less severe, for sure you're not going to have to bring a carbon. Tos says, what kind of kal v'chomer is that? Generally speaking, what's the idea of a karban? So on the one hand, it's a chumrah, they have to bring a karban, but on the other hand, it's a kevaldik akula to bring a karban, because it gives you kapara, the ability to bring a karban. Maybe the reason that a chi of kares b'mezid doesn't bring a karban is because the guy doesn't deserve a kapara. with a korban. But misa b'dei shemayim, it's on a lower level. Maybe such a person deserves a kapara with a korban. So Tosfos is bothered by that problem that this kal v'chomer seems a little bit odd. But anyway, so the brisa itself rejects the kal v'chomer for another reason. Tosfos says ein chinami. The Gemara, the brisa could have rejected the kal v'chomer for that svar alone, but the brisa has a different reason to reject the kal v'chomer. What's the different reason? Lo mamarta b'shar mitzvos shekein lochiv behen misa. Tomer b'mi'ila shechayv b'misa. Granted, other isuri kares have a chumra over mi'ila in that kares is more severe. That is in that they get kares and mi'ila doesn't get kares. But mi'ila has a chumra over chaylev and dam and all those other isurim in that mi'ila has misa b'dei shemayim. Those other isurim don't have misa b'dei shemayim, which right away is just a strange thing to say. That's going to be the whole kash of the Gemara. That's a stira min eibay. The first line we said, why is chaylev and dam and all these other things more severe than mi'ila? Because there's kares, and kares is worse than misa b'dei shemayim. You say, oh yeah? Well, mi'ila is worse, because mi'ila is misa b'dei shemayim, and these suri kares don't. Yeah, but they have kares, and kares is worse than misa b'dei shemayim. I mean, that's not, that's like saying that something that you have malchus for is more severe than skila, because there's malchus, and there's no malchus on the chi of skila. Yeah, but there's skila on the chi of skila. Meaning, if that's the comparison. So, Talmud Lomar b'shkaga prat l'mezid. So, v'amle Rav Nachman Yitzchak l'rbchia bar-ovin, haitaname kara limale kares. What's going on in this brisa? First line of the brisa sounds like kares is more severe than misa b'dei shemayim. Then the next line sounds like misa b'dei shemayim is more severe than kares. It's also interesting, even the way the Gemara asks the kasha is that we're asking it as a stira in the brisa. That one line of the brisa sounds like kares is worse, the next line of the brisa sounds like misa b'dei shemayim is worse. Is that really the issue of here? We know which is worse. We know that kares is worse. The kasha really should be, what's it talking about in the second line? Right? What's the whole, what do I mean that we know that kares is worse? What's the difference between kares and misa b'dei shemayim? They're both HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it and the person ends up dead, right? So what's the difference between kares and misa b'dei shemayim? So the Rishonim write Rashi in Maseches Shabbos, Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos. They write the whole chiluk is that by kares a person is meis kodem zmano and zaro nichras, his offspring also gets cut off. Whereas misa b'dei shemayim, he's meis kodem zmano but ain't zaro nichras. So the whole difference between kares and misa b'dei shemayim is that kares is a double punishment of himself plus his children. Misa b'dei shemayim is only on himself, has nothing to do with his kids. So obviously kares is worse than misa b'dei shemayim. That really should have been the Gemara's kasha. That's the kasha of the Chiddush Rabbeinu David. He doesn't understand why the Gemara asks this as a stira. The Gemara really should have just asked, why would we ever entertain the possibility that misa b'dei shemayim is worse than kares? So Tzad Rabbeinu Peretz says that the suffix of the Gemara is that there is actually a tzad chumra in misa b'dei shemayim that kares doesn't have. The Yerushalmi says someone who's chayv misa b'dei shemayim mamono nifsad, his money gets destroyed also. Whereas someone who's chayv kares, it's his children, not his money. So there is a tzad chumra in either side. So okay, whatever that means, that the money somehow compares, it's at least a tzad chumra that it has that the other one doesn't have. There's another tzad chumra. The Chassam Sofer points out that meaning what did the brisa say that mi'ila is only misa b'dei shemayim, so it should be on a lower level than kares. The brisa originally said than an isur kares. Some sort of points out, but mi'ila also has a chumra that none of these other isurim have, that chaylev and dam and all these isur kares don't have, and that is that one violates mi'ila even al yidei shliach. Normally we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, but yesh shliach l'dvar avera for mi'ila. So Chassam Sofer points out that could have been a chumra that we mentioned that mi'ila has that the chiyuv ekaris don't have. So he says it could be that by other mitzvos, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin is mechadesh, that even by other mitzvos there is a shliach l'dvar avera if the shliach is shogeg. What that really comes down to is, why do we say generally ein shliach l'dvar avera? If it's about divrei rava, divrei talmud, divrei mishomin, that why is the shliach listening to you? The shliach should listen to Hashem, but what if the shliach doesn't realize he's a shogeg in the avera? So then the whole svara of divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomer won't apply, and then we would say yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Okay, but bottom line is we have a problem with this brisa. The brisa on the one hand says kares is worse than misa b'dei shemayim, and then the very next line says misa b'dei shemayim seems to be a chumra over kares. There are going to be three ways of dealing with this stira in the brisa, and within the first way, Rav Papa is going to make a comment that's going to show us that he changed his mind in his understanding of Abishal. So first possibility of how to deal with the stira, the first wide line, fourth to last line on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin explained, this is what the Braisa means to say. Lo mamarta b'shar mitzvah shokein lo chiya ben misa b'pachos mikizayis. The second line of the Braisa that says that Mi'ila is more severe than the Isuri Kares is not saying that Misa Bidei Shamayim is more severe than Kares. It's saying that Mi'ila in particular has a Chumrah over the other Isuri Kares, in that you could violate Mi'ila and even Pachas Mikazayis. It could be Chayiv that Misa Bidei Shamayim, even when it's Pachas Mikazayis. But the Isurim of Kares, of eating Dam and eating Chelev, all those things, it's only if you eat a Kazayis. So that was the point. So he told Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, wow, great job, you really calmed me down. Now the Braisa makes so much more sense. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak is satisfied. So Avamalei, my nichusa. He said, well, why are you satisfied? You shouldn't be satisfied with that answer. The Rabbi Rav Shesha showed the Benarga. Rabbi Rav Shesha ruined that answer. They had a gevaldik kasha on that answer. Man shamadam da amar hezid b'meila b'misa rebihi. Who's the one that holds that someone who's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim from me'ila b'mezid? It's Rebbe that holds you chayiv misa b'dei shemayim from me'ila b'mezid. Titanya, the Braisa says, hezid b'meila Rebbe omer b'misa v'chamam b'asara. It's only shitas Rebbe that one is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim for doing me'ila b'mezid. The Chama say, no, it's a lo saseh. My time with the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get this idea from that there's going to be a chiyuv of misa b'dei shemayim for doing me'ila b'mezid? So I'm Rebbe Vo, gomer, chet, mitruma, he learns it out from a comparison to Truma. Ma Truma b'misa, af mi'ila b'misa. Just like Truma, there's a chi of Misa, so to mi'ila, there's a chi of Misa. Umina, but if you're going to really compare it to Truma, you should also derive Ma Truma b'kezayis, af mi'ila b'kezayis. That just like by Truma, the onesh is only if you ate a kezayis, so too by mi'ila, it also should only be by a kezayis. So you wanted to tell me that the whole chumra that mi'ila has over the other isurei kares is that mi'ila is even b'pachos mi'kezayis, but you're assuming like the shita that mi'ila is misa b'dei shemayim. If you hold mi'ila is misa b'dei shemayim, then you automatically hold that mi'ila is only more than a kezayis, not less than a kezayis. So Maskevla Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, no, we made the Rebbe Krabban and Sfirle. Who said that by Truma it needs to be a kezayis? We said, oh, mi'ila's got to be only a kezayis because we learned it from Truma. Who said Truma's only a kezayis? That's only the shita of the Rabbanan. Remember, Abishol's shita was that Truma's even bepachos mikazayis, as long as it's a shavapruta. Dilma kabishol svirile. Maybe Rebbe holds like Abishol, damer yesh for shavapruta afal gav de les ba kezayis. Says Rav Papa. Again, this is Rav Papa explaining his understanding of Abishol. Maybe Rebbe holds like Abishol that one is chayiv for eating Truma if he eats a shavapruta's worth, even if he didn't eat a kezayis. And there's our raya that Rav Papa was chozer. Because Rav Papa would amr Abishol tarti bai. Didn't Rav Papa, isn't Rav Papa the one that understood Abishol to require both the kezayis and the shavapruta? So how could he say over here that even when there's less than a kezayis, you're going to be chayiv? Ela shmamina hadarbe. So that's how we know that Rav Papa was chozer from his original shita, and he finally understood Abishol the same way everybody else understood Abishol, that Abishol has no interest in whether you violated Truma b'kezayis or not b'kezayis. His whole issue was shavapruta or not shavapruta. Good, but that was all one way of dealing with the stira in the Braisa, where the first line of the Braisa sounds like kares is worse than misa b'dei shemayim, and then the next line we say, no, but misa b'dei shemayim is worse than kares. Now the second way of dealing with it. Marbrid Ravina Amar Hachik Amar. Lo, mamarta b'shar mitzvah shelo asa ben she'in miskavein kimiskavein, shim niskavein lachto chesatalosh v'chata chesmuchuber shapater. When we compare mi'ila to other isurim, and we say that mi'ila is more severe, it's not because mi'ila is misa b'dei shemayim and the others don't have misa b'dei shemayim. No, what we're trying to say is mi'ila is more severe because by other mitzvos, when a person is only going to be punished when he does it b'miskavein, when he does it with kavana. If let's say a person intends on Shabbos to cut something something that's detached from the ground, and instead he cuts something that's attached to the ground, he's potter. He's not going to be chayiv on Shabbos for such an act. It's a basic lack of melechus machshavos. You're not going to be chayiv. But by mi'ila, tomar b'mi'ila, shem niskavin l'schamim b'gizei chulin, v'nischamim b'gizei olah, shema'al. By mi'ila, it's not so. Even if you don't have kavanah for the yisr, you're going to violate mi'ila. Person wants to warm himself with wool shearings of chulin, and he uses wool shearings of hegdish, so he's going to be in violation of mi'ila. So again, the chumrah that we wanted to say mi'ila has over the other yisurim is not like we originally thought, that mi'ila has misa b'dei shemayim, and that's the chumrah. No, it's not a chumrah. Karis is more chamur than misa b'dei shemayim. The chumrah is that even when it's ein miskaven, one violates mi'ila. And then the third possibility, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar, hachi kamar. Lo mamarta b'shar mitzvos, shekelo mischayiv ben she'in misasek kemisasek. Maybe the difference between mi'ila and the other Isurim is, again, not that Mi'ila has Misa B'dei Shemayim, and that's why it's more severe. That would not make it more severe. The point is that there's no din of, that there's no Ptur of Misasek by Mi'ila. By all other Isurim, if you do it in a completely mindless way, you totally didn't realize what you were even doing, you're going to be Pater. But when it comes to Mi'ila, even if you didn't have any Hasaga of what you were doing at the time, you're still going to be Chayiv. Shem Niskavin Lagbiya Satalush B'chotach Esam Mechubar Shapater. If, let's say, by another Isser, by Shabbos, person has the intention to pick up something, he doesn't even plan on cutting, he's not trying to cut anything, he wants to lift something off the ground that he's pretty convinced, that he thinks is not attached to the ground, and he ends up cutting something that's attached to the ground, he's going to be Pater, because it's misasek, he has no idea what he's doing. Tomar b'mi'ila shim hoshit yado l'kli litol chayfetz. What if a person sticks his hands into a kli to grab something that's inside the kli, v'sach yado b'shemesh al kodesh, and in that kli he didn't realize there's kodesh oil in the kli, and his hand ends up benefiting from being anointed with hegdish oil, shema'al. So he had no idea what he was doing, he didn't think he was oiling up his hand, but he was, and he's chayv mi'ila for the mi'ila, even though it's only misasek. So we had this braisa. The braisa first said that kares is more severe than misa b'dei shemayim, and then said no, mi'ila is worse because it's got misa b'dei shemayim. We said, what do you mean? Misa b'dei shemayim is less. How can you say mi'ila is worse because it has misa b'dei shemayim? So we had three approaches. The first approach was that by mi'ila yuchayiv, it's worse because yuchayiv for even less than a kazayis. Second approach was mi'ila is worse because yuchayiv even kasheinu miskavein. And third is that no, mi'ila is worse. Mi'ila is more chamor because you're chayiv even with misasek. Those are the three possibilities. But it certainly does not mean that mi'ila is more chamor because of misa b'dei shemayim. Misa b'dei shemayim is most certainly less chamor than kares. Good. Now we're going to go back to a line that we mentioned in yesterday's daf, in a brisa in yesterday's daf. We'll try to explain the line. We mentioned in yesterday's daf in the brisa that if you have something that is truma already, it can certainly become chametz, because chametz is a physical reality. If it rises and the dough cracks, and so it became chametz, even though it's truma. But if you have something that is chametz, and you were not yet mafresh truma from it, it cannot become truma. If you take a dough that you realize that the wheat that went into making that dough, you were never mafresh truma from, and it's Pesach, you cannot be mafresh truma. There is no chalos kedushas truma on that dough. So we're going to try to figure out, where do we know that from? Where does that come from? That idea that you can't have truma on chametz. So Amar Mar, we said yesterday, b'medvar mamur b'mafresh truma v'hechmitza. How can something exist that is both truma and chametz? If you were mafresh truma on something that was not yet chametz, then it became chametz. Aval hifresh chametz truma divrei akol eino kedosha. But if you are try to be mafresh truma from something that's already chametz, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to be kadosh. It's not going to have a chalos truma. Minan imili. So what's the source for this? Where do we get this idea from that you cannot be mafresh truma from chametz? So the Gemara is going to suggest two possible sources. Source number one, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Kra, pasuk says titein lo. We darsh and the pasuk says titein lo v'lo la'oro. When you give truma, you have to give the truma to the kohen, but not just that he could put in the just for him to burn. Meaning the point of giving truma is it should be something that he's able to eat. So if you're giving him chametz, he's not going to be able to eat it. So therefore, it doesn't have a chalos truma because you can't give it to a kohen. So Masr Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua ein tar min atame l'tora v'im taram b'shogeg trumas truma v'amai lema lova l'ora. But wait a second, you can be mafresh truma from something that's tame and it would work. Now you're not allowed to be mafresh from something that's tame. Let's say you have tame items and tahar items. So to take from the tame to make that the truma, if you have tame tevel and tahar tevel, you shouldn't make the tame the truma to cover the tahar stuff also. But if you do, it works. You can be mafresh truma from tame things. So it does work, it does count. Why don't we say the same drasha, that lo v'lo la'ora, that whenever you give truma to a kohen, it has to be something that he can use to eat himself, and not something that he's just going to have to throw in the fire, like truma tameya? So says Mar, no, lo kasha, hazam haisalo shasa kosher, hachalo haisalo shasa kosher. Big difference. The tame item wasn't always tame. It was once tahar. The fact that it has a history that it was once tahar makes it eligible for truma. But when we're dealing with chametz, we're talking about something that was always chametz. It was born chametz. What does that mean? Things aren't born chametz. Things become chametz. They are made out of one of the five grains, and they touch water, and then they rise. It doesn't happen that it comes into this world as chametz. Says Mar, yes, it does. Something could have become chametz while it was still attached to the ground. While it was still attached to the ground, it became chametz. Meaning the grain was still in the field, attached to the ground, and it came in contact with water, and it became chametz in the ground. So by the time you were kotzer, by the time you harvested it, it was already chametz. That's the case that we're talking about where you cannot be mafresh truma from such grain. Aval achmetz betalush hachanami dekadesha. But if it was machmetz betalush, if it became chametz like normal only after you detach it from the ground, then ein chinami, you can be mafresh truma from such chametz. It's not an ironclad rule that anything that's chametz you cannot be mafresh truma from. You can be mafresh truma from most chametz. It's only something that was always chametz that already became chametz when it was attached to the ground. Only such items you cannot be mafresh truma from. So Amar Leh, he said in bigzeres irin piskama b'maimer kadish and shilta v'chein marim be. Even Joshua Kavasi quotes this pasuk in Daniel, where the pasuk in Daniel says that the chachamim who are dumb and the malachim, that they said the right thing. That and v'chein morim beim Joshua Kavasi, we pasuk like me in the base medrash. It's a little bit strange. Rashi, on if you look at the lashon of Rashi on Irin, he says malachim. Right, that's about malachim. Then the next Rashi, ubimaimer kedish and sheilta mikrahu b'Daniel. So if you were writing Mikruhu B'Daniel, where should you have written Mikruhu B'Daniel? Right in the first phrase, no? First phrase of the pasuk. He waits till the second phrase of the pasuk and says Mikruhu B'Daniel. So some of the Acharonim explain, yeah, because that phrase, that Maimer Kaddish and She'ilta, has nothing to do with the point of our Gemara. The point of our Gemara was that first phrase of that Malachim, that the Tamid Cham, which are like the Malachi Asharis in the Beis Medrash, they say like me. That was his whole point. Second phrase has nothing to do with it. So Rashi says, yeah, we just quote the second phrase because it's a pasuk in Daniel, so we're quoting the entire pasuk. We're not only quoting half of the pasuk. But wait a second, there's something much, much bigger over here. We said that something can become chametz while it's attached to the ground. So shouldn't all grain be chametz? Because in order for grain to grow, it's got to rain, right? So all grain, by definition, if it were growing in a dry climate where there was no rain, it wouldn't grow. So if it has the potential to be chametz when it becomes wet, so there's a major kasha. All the Rishonim ask, what are we talking about? That something can become chametz when it's still attached to the ground. So the Rashba, this was in the New York Times recently, right? The whole they reported on the Satmar Machlokas. So what was the whole? Not the whole thing. What was one of the nekudos where one shows how he's holier than the other? Because he's more makbid about the dry wheat that they use, that they dafka have the wheat in a drier place, that they're not worried about it becoming chametz. So what's behind that? Is it possible? Is it possible if something's growing on the ground to become chametz? So says the Rashba in the Tshuva, in the Chelek Zayin Siman Chaf, he was asked this kasha, how can it become chametz b'mechubar? If it's mechubar, it's always going to be chametz then, because it's always going to rain. So the Rashba says our Gemara is talking about grain that has fully ripened. Once it's fully ripened, if it then rains on it, yes, it can become chametz. And therefore, says the Rashba, we should try very hard to be Makbid, to harvest the grain before it's fully ripened. If you harvest the grain before it's fully ripened, then you're never going to have to worry that it became chametz. Chayodim pasens way klal kuf chav ches siv beis, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Sivkot and Yud Zayin that the same idea that since you have to be very very careful that there not be any chashash chimutz on our wheat, so roi ledakdek, you have to be careful to harvest the grain before it fully ripens, because once it fully ripens, you run the risk of chimutz. Now, in addition to the risk of chimutz, there's also a mitzvah of shmira on the matzos. Shmartem es ha-matzos. Matzah, it's not shmura matzah. You're not allowed to use for matzos mitzvah on the night of the Seder. So what does it mean, shmura matzah? It has to be shamur mishas what? So some Rishonim hold shmira needs to be shmira mishas ketzira. That's the sheet of the Rif and the Rambam, that already from the time of harvesting, you need shmira. So some of the Achronim explain that, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch passing, you need shmira mishas ketzira, that the wheat that we use to make the matzahs have to be shamur from the time that they're harvested to make sure they didn't come in contact with any liquid. So it says in Mishnah Berurah that even if the wheat is still mechubel karka, if it's already fully ripened, it should require shmir even before ketzira. Ketzira is just a nice way of saying that you need shmir from the first moment it can become chametz. But if you hold like the Rashba, it can become chametz before the ketzira. So in addition to the fact that you have a chashash chimutz, you also have a problem of ena shmura, that it's not going to be considered shmura, even if it never taka did become chametz, meaning it's if you leave it in the ground till it becomes fully ripened and you didn't sit there guarding it the whole time, so then it's not going to be shmura matzah, even if it didn't rain in that area, it's still not shmura. You need a din shmira. So that's what what one group of achronim suggest, that maybe the best idea is to harvest the grain before it's fully ripened. That's if you assume like the shita's harash. But there is another shita, the Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam says that no. What does it mean that it can become chametz while it's attached to the ground? He says it can become chametz if it rains an incredible amount. It has to rain a lot in order for it to become chametz. He says the Rabbeinu Manoach writes that only mayim merubim can be machmes lechitim. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Samach Zayin Sivkot and Yud Ches says that the amount of rainfall that we normally have in places that grow wheat, we're not so worried that it's going to be the mayim merubim such mayim merubim is going to come after it's already ripened, that it's going to be able to be machmetz wheat. You need both. It needs to be fully ripened, and then there's mayim merubim. So in Shari Tshuva, he quotes from the Mi'il Tzedakah. In the Mi'il Tzedakah, there was a maisa in the year Tuf Ayin Beis, where it rained during the harvesting season, and they saw that that the wheat that they had harvested a day or two after the rain from Matzah's Mitzvah were fully ripened, and they weren't sure. Maybe they were fully ripened about the time that it had rained. According to the Rashba, they therefore had a problem. So the Mi'il Tzedakah says, nah, it rained, but it didn't rain. Meaning the kind of rain that you need would have been the rain that totally blows off all the stalks from the, you know, the all the chaff from the wheat and would really get into the cracks and really would really have to be a much more significant rain. And he says he has a raya. Two rayas, actually, that a small amount of rain is not going to do it. He says one raya is that we only require shmir mishas ktsira, meaning we just said, oh, according to the Rashba, shmir mishas ktsira really means before ktsira, but before the achronim, no one ever said that. Shmir mishas ktsira always meant mishas ktsira, not before the ktsira. Why don't you need shmir before the ktsira if there's a real genuine risk of it becoming chametz before the ktsira? So this must be that it's not such a significant risk that it's going to become chametz. So it would have to be a kind of rain the likes of which we don't often see. And second of all, he says, the other raya is every single day there's dew that comes down that gets the grain wet. So if even a small amount of moisture is enough to make it chametz, so then even if it doesn't rain, you're in trouble. Just the tal is going to be enough to be machmetz. So then the Aruch HaShulchan takes the other side. He goes like this Rabbeinu Manoach. The Aruch HaShulchan says, better not to be kotzer l'chitim before they're fully ripened, because before they're fully ripened, they have a natural moisture. They haven't completely dried out, and therefore it's going to be more difficult to do the tchina and the lisha, and there the moisture is going to make it be memar lahachmitz once you do the tchina and the lisha. He thinks it's better to wait till they're fully ripened. So okay, good. So that's this is a machlokas, an old machlokas in halacha. So we have new ways of applying this machlokas in the pages of the New York Times, but it's an old machlokas. Good. So that was all one understanding of minahani mili, of how do I know that chametz that is that something that's chametz cannot become truma. So it says Gemara, a second possibility, Kiyasu Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Amar, Amar Kra Reishis Sheshireha Nikarin Li Yisrael, Yatzu Shein Shireha Nikarin. The other possibility is that when you give Truma, the idea is that whatever you leave over and didn't give as Truma should be mutter for you to eat, should be mutter for the Yisrael. Whereas if it was Chametz and it was Pesach, so you mafresh the Truma, but the rest of it is not truma. The rest of it is not edible for the Yisrael because it's chametz still. So that's the problem. It's a problem of not having shireha nikarin. Period. Those are the two possibilities. Now Tosus explains in the name of the Ri that when we say lo v'lo la'oro, that first possibility of lo v'lo la'oro, so that's only, says Tosos, that drush is only necessary if you assume like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that chametz bePesach is mutar bana. But if you hold like the other Tanaim, that chametz like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, that chametz bePesach is asur bana, then from the pasuk v'nasan la'kohen es hakodesh, we already learned that it has to be something that's ra'oi lios kodesh, that it has to be something that could be kodesh. Or from titain alone, we learn that not you should give something that's dafka mutar bana, at least should be mutar bana. Now it's only something that's mutar bana is a shaykh to have a nesina. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the chametz bePesach is mutar bana, so that's where there's a hava amina to assume that maybe you can have truma on chametz bePesach. That's where I need the drush of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's Tosus's approach, that this whole discussion is only within Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which leads the Nadbud of the Tzlach, asked the Kasha, well, if that's the case, the whole discussion is only within Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so what is the pasuk in Daniel that he quoted? V'gzeres irin piskam of Maimer Kedishin Shilta, what did he say? V'chein morin bebe medrasha kavasi, and they paskin in the base medrash like me. What do you mean, paskin in the base medrash like me? The whole discussion was only like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So there is no v'chein morin bebe medrasha kavasi. So that's one of the strong kashas the Achronim ask on the Valley of Tosos. But another critical point over here, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Sasagus to the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban writes that the mitzvah of Truma is really two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to be mafresh Truma, and a mitzvah of giving truma, of giving the truma that you wore mafresh to the kohen. So the Marsham asks the Kasha, he says, how could Rav Nachum Yitzchak say that the reason why truma's chametz is not kadosh, that you can't be mafresh truma from chametz, is because the pasuk says, titein lo, you should give it to him, v'lola oro. When you give it to the kohen, it's got to be for him. What do you mean? That's the mitzvah of giving it. We're talking about being mafresh in the first place, designating something as truma. Maybe I can designate chametz as truma, I just can't be mekayim the mitzvah of then giving it to the kohen. I just leave it aside, like if you don't have a kohen miyuchas, what do? You still have to be mafresh to make your stuff not tevel anymore, and just leave it aside. You can't do anything with it. But maybe the mitzvah of hafrasha, I'm allowed to do on chametz. So the Achronim explain, according to the Ramban, what you have to say is that titein lo is megala, that the whole mitzvah of hafrash is only something that it's ra'ui to do the mitzvah of nesina on. If you can't do the mitzvah of nesina, then there would be no mitzvah of hafrasha on something that it's not ra'ui to have a mitzvah of nesina. That discussion about the two studim of the two elements of the mitzvah of truma, that is a shita of the Tosus Rid, and it's known as the chiddush of the Nodeh Yehuda, that there are two separate that these two separate mitzvahs of hafrasha and nesina have different gedarim. Nodeh Yehuda was bothered by the kasha Tosus we saw in yesterday's daf, that how can you say that nesina always means that you're giving at least a shavu pruta, but chita achas potaras es kol akri to be mafresh truma, you only need chita achas. So Nodeh Yehuda says, I came up with a chiddush, never seen anyone say it in my life, it's an unbelievable chiddush, that there are two separate shiurim, because there are two separate mitzvos. For the mitzvah of hafrasha, you only need chita achas, poteres kol akri. But then when you give it to the kohen, so you have to have many chita achases to have a kedei nesina, then you need a shiur of a shavar pruta. So the shiur of one mitzvah is a chita achas, the shiur of the other mitzvah of nesina is a shavar pruta. It happens to be it's mefurish in the Tosfos written, like we didn't have a Tosfos. Tosfos Rid. So he came up with the chiddush on his own, but it's the same chiddush that these are two separate mitzvos of Nesina. In the lechem sha'arim, he quotes over here in Chuvas lechem sha'arim. He says, "What does it help that it once had a shas hakosher?" Pasuk says, "Lo v'lo la'oro." So why does shas hakosher matter anymore? The fact that it once was okay, but you have to give it to the kohen. Lo v'lo la'oro. So he says, based on this Tosfos Rid, that by Afrashas Truma and the Nesina of the Truma, there are two separate mitzvos, that the mitzvos and the Nesina of the Truma is like all other Matnas Kuhuna, and based on that you understand very well that since it had a Shas HaKosher, so the Shas HaKosher made it that there was Chal Chovas HaFrasha, that on that produce there was a Chiv to be Mafrish. Now, so even though you weren't able to be Mafrish before it became Tameh, or before it became Chametz, and now you can't be Mekayim that second mitzvah of Nesina, but as long as it once had a Shas HaKosher, the Chiv at least had the ability to be Chal. Chiv to be Mafrish was able to be Chal. Okay, right through the Gemara now. Yosef Rav Acha Bar Avya, new discussion. Second line from the top, Lam Gimel Beis. Yosef Rav Acha Bar Avya, Kamed Rav Chisav, Yosef Amram Shred Rabbi Yochanan. Anavim Shenitmu, Dorchan Pachos Pachos Mikubetza, V'yenan Kashal Nusachin. If there are grapes that are Tamei, is there any way to draw grape juice from them, or wine from them, that's not going to be Tamei? The grapes are already Tamei. So he says, here's what you do. You crush them less than a Kubetza at a time, and then the wine is going to be kashal in the sach, and the wine that comes from those grapes is not going to be tamei. Alma, kasavar mashkin mifkat pkidi. The assumption seems to be that the liquid that's in the grapes is considered to be some foreign substance that's trapped in the grape. It's not part of the grape. The juice that's in the grape, the wine that's in the grape, is not part of the grape. If it were part of the grape, it would be tamei, because the grape is tamei. No, it's a different substance that's caught in the grape. Mifkad pekidi. We know that expression from the beginning of Masechus Ksuvos. Mifkad pakid. Le'emas kamitami. When does it first become tamei? L'chisachet l'hu. When you squeeze it out. Right? But if you take less than a kibetza of grapes at a time, so it's not going to have the shear needed to transmit tumah. Tumas ochlim can only be transmitted by kibetza. Only if you have a kibetza of tumah food can the tumah be transmitted to something else. Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Rashi tells throughout Shas whether in order for food to become tameh, it needs to be a shir kibetza as well, but certainly in order for it to be metameh something else, it needs to be a shir kibetza. So, frekta gemara, ihachi kibetza nami. Well, if this is the case, why do you need to take less than a kibetza of grapes? You should be able to take exactly a kibetza of grapes and also squeeze it. Why? Datnan, tameh mesha sachat zesim vanavim, kibetza mechuvenes, tahorin. If a tamei mace squeezes out in exactly one kibetza of grapes, those grapes are going to be tahor. Why? Because as soon as the first bit of juice is squeezed out, now it's less than a kibetza. So if a tamei mace is dealing with grapes, and the grapes are not yet hukshar lekabel tumah, when do they become hukshar lekabel tumah? When that first bit of juice is squeezed out. Yeah, but now that the first bit of juice is squeezed out, it's not a kibetza anymore. So we should say the same thing over here. If you have tamei grapes, we should say that you can deal with up until a kibetza at a time and still have tahar wine that comes out of it. Says Gemara, Hasam di'i avad, hachal l'chadchila gzeru del masin levad yosar mikibetza. You're right. Bidi avad, if you dealt with exactly a kibetza of grapes, the wine would not be tamei. But we don't want to mess around with exactly a kibetza, just in case you accidentally take a little bit more than a kibetza, and then you're going to end up with tamei wine. So we try to play it safe. Take less than a kibetza. Take pachas mi kibetza at a time. Amle Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, man sayach lach l'Rabbi Yochanan and Rabcha. Who's going to listen to you and Rabbi Yochanan and your Rebbe? V'chitum ha-shaben la'yechan alcha. What do you mean? The grape was tamei before. Now all of a sudden you squeeze it out, and the juice that comes out is tar. I don't believe that. Meaning, what's he saying? Alma kasavar mashkin mivla bli. Meaning, the way he's saying it is that the juice inside of the grapes is not some foreign substance that has nothing to do with the grape. It's part of the grape, and therefore the wine, the juice that's inside of the grape is tamei when the grape itself is tamei. The liquids inside are also tamei. V'kima de'itmilei uchla itmilei mashkin. When the food becomes tamei, the liquid therein becomes tamei. He says, "What? You don't agree with me that it's considered a foreign substance that's trapped in the grape, but itself is not tamei?" But Tanan, what about the Mishnah? Tamei meis shasachat zesim anavim mechuvenes kibetza tahorin. That if a tamei meis squeezes out olives and grapes, if it's exactly kibetza, it's going to be tar. If you say like me that the liquid inside is a foreign substance, so that makes sense why it's tahar. But if you hold that the juice inside of the grape is part of the grape, why should it be tahar? The tamei mes is dealing with these zesim va'anavim. Shouldn't he be metame them when he touches them? He says, no, you misunderstood. The case is the tamei mes is dealing with grapes that never became Hukshar lekabel tuma, so they can't become tame until they come in contact with the liquid. When's the first time they come in contact with the liquid? Lemus miskashri lechisachet luhu. They only come in contact with the liquid when some juice is squeezed out of them. Well, kisachet luhu batzur luhu shiura. When juice is squeezed out of them, now it's less than a kibetza because some of the juice is missing. And if you don't say that my pshat is correct, hadatanya halamaze dome lechumas tutin va'anavim shenitma shenla. We saw this in yesterday's daf also. We said, what's an example of truma that you're not going to be able to get any hanah from whatsoever? So we said, normal truma tamea, you can get hanah from. You have hanah as hesek, you can use it as firewood. What's an example of truma tamea that the coin's not going to be able to get any hanah from whatsoever? Things that you can't really use as firewood, like grapes. So tame grapes that are of truma, you can't use a grape as firewood, it doesn't work. So if it's tame, you can't eat it, can't use it as firewood, so it's absolutely useless. So we gave that example of grapes. But wait a second. Not only is there a way to get hana from it, according to what you're saying, you should even, if you hold that mifkat pocket, that the juice inside the grape is not tamei, then you, as long as you can extract that juice, bepachas mikabetz at a time, you'd be able to drink that juice, you'd be able to drink that wine, then forget about hetera hana. There's even a hetera chila on truma tamei grapes. Because all you need to do is dibay darklu pachas pachas mikabetza. Just squeeze out less than a kabetza at a time. So don't you see that it's therefore a raya that it's mivla bli, that the juices are considered part of the grape, and therefore if the grape is tame, the juices are tame as well? So he says, no, that's for a different reason. Amar Rava, gzera dimla asibu l'detakala. Maybe anechinami, the juice is not tame. We still don't think that you're allowed to get any hana from those grapes, because we're afraid if you leave the grapes around, you might come to eat the grapes. You're not going to squeeze out less than a kibetz at a time and make tahar wine. You might come to eat the grapes, so because of that concern, that's why we consider it to be something that you can't use at all. Are we really worried that leaving around truma tamea fruits is going to be bali de takala? It's going to lead to eating it. We're allowed to light a fire using bread or oil of truma tamea as fuel. What do you mean? We shouldn't leave it around long enough to be able to use it as fuel, because we should be concerned that you're going to eat it. So if you're really worried about takala. So Amalei pas zarek lebena etzim shemen shel truma rami lebekli maos. We're talking about bread and oil that becomes inedible. You already threw the bread amongst the firewood, so it's disgusting, and the oil is in a disgusting kli, so it's not edible. No one would ever come to eat it. That's when we're not worried about takala. Gufa madlikim bepas b'shemen shel truma shenitmeis. So you said that you're allowed to use these things as firewood. Abayam reshmei dechiskia v'rava amar debei Rabbi Yitzchak bar Marta amar afuna lo shanu ella. Pass. That's only bread. Avalchiti lo. But wheat, you're not even allowed to wheat of truma tamei, you're not even allowed to leave around to use as firewood. Shami yavu belni de takala, because of that concern that you might come to eat the wheat itself. Rabbi Yochman amar afilu chiti. Rabbi Yochman says even wheat you don't have to worry about. Shouldn't we be worried that it might come li de takala to leave the wheat around? So says Gemara, Kedama Ravashi, bishlikta umiista. Hachanami bishlikta umiista. We're talking about wheat that was already boiled and therefore was made disgusting to use. A person would never come to use it. Now, bottom line, this Gemara has a fundamental machlokas whether the juices caught inside of a fruit are going to have the same status of the fruit. Meaning, if the fruit is tame, are the juices inside of that fruit tame as well? There's an interesting discussion that this sugya may be very helpful with. In the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chil Michel Tukachinsky, in Sefer Eretz Yisrael and in the Sefer Ira Kodesh Mikdash, discusses about being mechalal Meiser Sheni on Peros and how to get rid of Meiser Sheni. Meaning, what do you do nowadays? You have Meiser Sheni, so there is no mitzvah sachilis Meiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim. So how do we get rid of Meiser Sheni? You can't be ma'abid, you know, that just destroy it just like that when it's tahar. So he says that there were gedolei Yerushalayim that were mechalal Meiser Sheni on sugar and of the shavapruta, because sugar is also a fruit, and then they would dissolve the sugar in water. So they would put the sugar in water and it would dissolve itself. But some people didn't like the idea of being mechal on sugar because it's already in the special and hukshar with the mayim. Meaning they take the sugar cane and they cook it, I guess, and by the time they dehydrate it, it had already become hukshar, and if it already became hukshar, it's likely that it's already tameh, and you're not supposed to be mechal al meiser sheni on a pri that's already tameh. So Shlomo Zalman Rabach points out, what's the heter? Why is it okay? He says, because what became tamei? The sugar cane became tamei. But the sugar itself, even though it came from the sugar cane, but it was only a product of it. It was inside of it. It's like the juice inside the anavim over here, where if you hold mifkad pakid, the tumah of the larger fruit isn't metame the inside. Sugar, we don't often think of sugar as something that, as a fruit, something that you have to be mafresh shumas amaisos. When Shecht was at my house, his son told me, just make sure after the meal you offer him tea without sugar. I said, why without sugar? He said, ask him. So I asked him, why don't you eat sugar? He said, many years ago he was in Eretz Yisrael and he was staying by a cousin. He went to eat a meal by a cousin who wasn't so sure how frum they were, so he didn't really trust any of their food. So they said, can you have a tea? He figured, okay, a tea, what can go wrong? I'd have a tea. Would you like sugar? And he didn't want to insult them, but that he didn't trust the Trumas and Maestros on the sugar. So he said, no, I don't have my tea with sugar. So he decided from then on, once he said those words, I don't have my tea with sugar, I don't have sugar in my tea, he doesn't have sugar in his tea anymore, because he didn't want to be a shaker. Okay, we'll stop with that.